In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is Zacchaeus Sunday, the Sunday in which the reading of the Gospel with the story of Zacchaeus is read, and it's always the Sunday just prior to us beginning the Triodion. So next Sunday, we begin the four preparatory Sundays that prepare us for Lent. But this is sort of the first bell, you might say, to let you know that it's on the way. In the epistle that's appointed for St. Zacchaeus Sunday, we hear a verse that's often misunderstood. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I've often heard young people cite this verse as if it meant that St. Paul is telling Timothy, don't let anyone disrespect you. Don't put up with that. But that's not at all what St. Paul is saying. Timothy was a younger man. He had been appointed to be bishop over Ephesus. And there were older people who were in that congregation, perhaps even older people who were leaders in the church, presbyters, who looked down on Timothy because he was a young man. And what St. Paul is saying is don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, conduct, in love, spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, let your life make up for what's lacking in your age, and then these people will respect you. Now, this is within the context of the church, because if we're talking about unbelievers, unbelievers often despise people because of their virtue, not in spite of it. But within the context of the church, when we see someone who's truly a holy man, whatever their age might be, they gain our respect because we begin to see their holiness lived out. To better understand the reading, you have to keep in mind that St. Paul was his mentor. He was the leader of this church, and St. Paul was guiding him, and so this epistle has its most direct application, and this verse has its most direct application to those who are clergy. And as a matter of fact, in the Russian church, every priest wears a cross. This hasn't always been the case. In more ancient times, only priests that had reached a certain rank were awarded a cross, and younger priests looked just like deacons. And the story, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it explains what happened, even if it's not true. But supposedly, Tsar Nicholas II got tired of asking deacons for their blessing and being told, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not a priest, I'm a deacon. And so he decided that every priest in the Russian church, no matter what their tenure, on the day they were ordained, they would be given a silver cross. And on the back of a Russian priest's cross, you find that verse, be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. Now, for a younger priest, the part about let no one despise thy youth would come into play. But, of course, as a priest gets older, there's a lot less likelihood that they're going to be despised because of their youth. But we should all, as clergy especially, try to live up to this ideal because we want to be an example. Clergy are held to a higher standard in certain respects. It's not that there's a different gospel. It's not that there's a different Christian life. We all have the same standards in the sense that we're all supposed to be striving to be like Christ. But there are certain things that if you do as a clergyman, you're going to cease to be a clergyman and you're going to become a layman. And there's also certain things that if you've done, you can't become a priest. It's also true, of course, that many priests don't live up to this ideal, but this is what we're called to be. But it's not just the clergy. All of us have people in our lives that look up to us. If you're a parent, you have children that you should be an example for. Your children should be able to look up to you, and they, as they grow older, should be able to remember that you were a pious parent, that you exemplified what it means to be a Christian. That would hopefully inspire them to emulate you. Also, especially in our culture, many of us are the only Orthodox Christian that many people that we encounter are ever going to know. Years ago, before I had any interest in Orthodoxy, my mother worked with a woman who was Orthodox, and I remember her telling me this woman swears like a sailor, and there's a bar in her church. And for a Nazarene who don't believe in drinking and don't believe in swearing, that meant that she was not a very good Christian. And although she didn't have any problem with her as a person, I should say, I mean, she liked her, but she was just saying that it was kind of shocking that she would behave this way. And of course, from certain Orthodox cultures, you would be less shocked by those things. But we have to keep in mind how we behave, because people are looking to us. And had my mother not had a son who converted to Orthodox and become a priest, that might have been all she ever knew about the Orthodox faith. And we have to be aware. People are looking to us, especially when they know we're an Orthodox Christian. And their opinion about the Orthodox Church is often going to be formed by what they see in you. And so you need to be an example. And then the reading goes on to say, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery," is a way that it's translated. St. John Chrysostom points out that this was not presbyters that were laying hands on him, but bishops. And just to explain a little bit about sometimes when you see the way words are used in the New Testament when it comes to elders, presbyters, and bishops, you have to keep in mind that the terminology wasn't written quite in stone in the New Testament period as it later came to be, but you can see, nevertheless, the three-tier level of clergy very clearly in the New Testament. It's just that the terminology wasn't always used as strictly as it later came to be. The word presbyter means elder, and so when it talks about the laying on of hands of the elders, this would mean the senior people in the church, which would include, obviously, the apostles and bishops. But what this says is that in addition to the obvious fact that we should devote ourselves to reading the scriptures and studying the teachings of the church, and in addition to the fact that, obviously, as a leader of the church, it was St. Timothy's responsibility to teach and to exhort, what this tells us is that we can join our efforts to the grace of God that's been given to us to increase the work of that grace in our life, or we can neglect it. We've all been given grace in baptism, and each and every one of us can choose to either cooperate with that grace and to become a saint, or we can neglect that grace and we can be a scandal to those around us and a shame as a Christian. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. If God's grace is truly working in our life, it becomes evident to those around us by the way that we live our life. Just as Zacchaeus' repentance was evidence, or the things that he did was evidence of his repentance, not just his words. Likewise, the grace of God was evident in St. Timothy's life, not just in the things that he taught people. St. Paul taught him to teach and to preach, and not every one of us is called to have a formal teaching position in the church or to preach on Sunday morning. But St. Timothy's preaching would have been of very little effect if his manner of life had contradicted the things that he said. They would have fallen on deaf ears. And likewise, everyone in the church is called to study the scriptures. Everyone has opportunities to teach at least on some level. We have children that we're responsible to teach. We have people who ask us questions, so we have opportunities to teach. But the most important way that we can proclaim the truth of what we believe is that when people look to us, they see us living out the Christian life. They see us being an example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's the most eloquent way that we can be preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. Amen.